thankful for what I feel in the house of God this morning. I want you to understand that God has a very specific agenda for this service. God has an agenda and a plan for every service, but especially today, this week, preparing for this service, I've been able to feel a vein so clearly. I need God to help me today. There's some people in the house that if you'll just reach out and grab on to what God is doing, God's ready to yank you out of a pit of despair and hopelessness. It don't matter how long you've been there or how hopeless you feel. If you just reach up and grab on to the Word of God, I want you to understand God is not finished with you yet. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. What a wonderful revival we have been in with Brother Cornelius Williams. I'm so thankful for all that God did. I don't want to drop the ball coming out of it. I know that God's got a plan to lift us higher, to take us forward. I thank Him for what He's been doing. I thank Him for what He's going to do. Give honor to every saint, every guest, every minister. So good to have the Montanos with us, Brother Montana. We love this great man. Appreciate him. If you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. We'll just be reading a single verse of study. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The choir sang under the anointing of the Holy Ghost about God still working, God not being finished, confirming the word that God has for today, which I'd like to preach from this subject. It's all in how you finish. It's all in how you finish. Would you lift your hands and pray? God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your precious people. God, I need you so desperately today. God, quicken my mind. God, speak through my lips of clay. God, I'm nothing except you help me, except you make up the difference. God, I'm praying that you would anoint me. God, use me for your glory. God, these are your people, the sheep of your pasture, the apple of your eye. You know every need, you know every situation, you know every lie of the enemy that works, even as we come to church today, that works in the minds of your people. God, I'm praying that you would rebuke the devourer for your people's sake. God, build us, protect us, God. We'll give you the glory and the praise. Would you give God a hand clap of praise? Come on, how many are thankful to be in the house of God today? God bless you. You can be seated. A little over a week ago, my family traveled to Beaumont, Texas for the homegoing service of my Mama Copeland. She was one of the best ladies, one of the best Christians that I have ever known. Because of that, it was truly a celebration of life. And at her homegoing service, my uncle, Brother Steve McMullen, stood behind the desk and began to relay a portion of a story that I'd like to share with you today. He told about a NASA space shuttle named the Atlantis. And if you listen closely to this story, every detail of the story, I believe that you'll draw some important spiritual truths from the story of her most famous voyage into space. It was December of 1988 when the Atlantis prepared to take off on a secret mission for the U.S. government, and there was a lot of nervousness in the NASA community. They were only 2 years removed from the Challenger tragedy that had claimed the lives of 7 astronauts. And as this shuttle, the Atlantis, sat on the launch pad and prepared to take off, there were many people that were afraid and worried, knowing that a failure would likely mean the end of the American space shuttle saga. As the Atlantis began to lift off, everything seemed to be going well as the boosters began to fire. But unbeknownst to anyone on the ground or anyone on the shuttle, merely 85 seconds into liftoff, A piece of insulation from one of the rocket boosters burst off and slammed down nearly half the length of the aircraft, damaging nearly 700 thermal protection tiles. Unaware of the situation that they now found themselves in, the crew continued on their journey, continued with their mission. They eventually reached the drop-off point in space for their cargo, and an astronaut by the name of Mike Mullane began to unfurl the robotic arm from the side of the carrier to drop their cargo. Somewhere during this process, he wrote that, "As the beauty of the Earth passed beneath me, I had eyes only for the robotic arm and only for my cargo. But suddenly something just beyond the robotic arm caught his eye, and as he examined the cameras, they realized that something was terribly wrong. Examined further and saw that the camera revealed white streaks of damaged tiles along the vehicle's underbelly. The white streaking grew thicker and faded beyond the view of the camera, and they were seeing only a few hundred of the nearly 700 tiles that had been damaged on their heat shield. As the crew looked, they were in shock, instantly realizing the implications of trying to land the Atlantis with a damaged heat shield. And in despair, Mullane told his crew to simply enjoy the final days of their flight because there was no use dying all tensed up. The crew agreed that the re-entry and the landing would likely kill them all and destroy the shuttle, but in space they had no other chance. And early on the morning of December 6th, after 4 days in orbit, the Atlantis began their descent back towards Edwards Air Force Base. And as they descended across the Indian Ocean, streaking across Australia, across the darkened Pacific Ocean, the crew wondered what was happening as the underbelly of the Atlantis steadily heated up beneath them. And they traveled at five times the speed of sound, and they knew that at least if the heat shield failed, the end would come quickly. But at 3:36 Pacific Standard Time, despite their fears, despite the damage that had been done to the Atlantis during the flight, the crew of the Atlantis touched down safely at Edwards Runway 17. As those astronauts disembarked from the shuttle, a huge crowd joined them at the nose of the Atlantis, staring in disbelief at the extent of the damage that had been done. One of their supervisors shook his head, saying, "Surely you escaped death by only a hair's breadth, yet somehow still came in for a perfect landing." You see, this flight and all flights could easily be broken into three clear sections. Section number one was the takeoff, which had been rougher than expected. The damage had occurred at an early point in the journey, greatly affecting the entire remainder of the journey. Section number two was the flight itself, which had been greatly troubled because of the damage done to the shuttle. Things just had not gone as smoothly as they expected or as smoothly as they hoped. Section number three, of course, was the landing. A landing which, despite their projections, despite their fears, despite their worries, despite the very real danger they were in and the very real damage done to the aircraft, a landing that had gone perfectly. You see, it's all in how you finish. You can see these same parallels in a human life. A grave headstone shows these same three things. It shows a birth, which could be said to be a launch. It shows a dash, or your life, or your journey. And it shows your death, which is your landing. And I want you to know, it matters how you finish. Our text, Ephesians 4 and 26, says, "Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, as with many scriptures, there are many different layers to unpack in this verse, the most obvious of which is a doctrine about anger, but I want to bypass that part and just examine the most simplistic part of this scripture. The fact that shows that the journey of a day does not have to end in the same way that it might begin. That a flight, a life, a day, understand the parallel messages that each picture contains, because The setting of the sun has always symbolized the ending of the day. And this scripture indicates by the reading of this verse that we might have variations in our circumstances during the day. It indicates that things might be one day, one way in the morning. They might be one way at noon, and they might be another way at the evening. And at some point during the day, things likely just weren't like they should have been. Or at some point during your flight of life, things, they just weren't going perfectly. They were not going smoothly. During the morning hours or at noon, we may not always do things just the way that we want them done, because there may be some wrath, or there may be some doubt, or there will be some struggle. But the Bible tells us that before the end of the day, you just better make sure that you make things right, to make sure that your day does not end badly. Come on, how many know you don't have to end like you begin? You don't have to end the day the same way the journey has gone, but you can end strong and you can end well. It has been stated that entrances are brief, but exits are eternal. The exit is what lasts. An overlooked reality of life is this: you will likely not be remembered as much for the totality of what you did in your life, but more for how you left this life. We've all seen great men, great legacies, great companies that have been destroyed because of what someone did, what they said in just a moment. What they did in the sunset of their life left a lasting impression over their legacy, because it is the finale that really counts. Even Jesus said, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I want to give you hope today that in the morning of your life you may have messed up, and in the doom day you may have done some things that you're not proud of and that you wish you could take back, and the sun is beginning to sink low in your life, but you can stand up and say, hey, things don't have to end this way. As a matter of fact, I hope you'll say, it cannot end this way. It must not end this way. Hey, I refuse to finish this life in struggle, in trouble, but I know that I can end well by the help and by the grace of God. Come on, you ought to stand firm and say, hey, I know that I can finish strong. I know that I can finish strong. I don't have to end in this condition. Come on, there's still time. There's still time for you to change the way that you will end. I'm speaking to somebody about your life. I'm speaking over your marriage. I'm speaking over your job. I'm speaking over your goals. Come on. It doesn't have to end this way. Things can be different. You ought to stand up and fight and say, hey, I'm not going to roll over and play dead, but I can finish a different way than I'm traveling right now. Come on, you ought to give God praise. I'm talking about somebody's purpose in the kingdom of God. You may feel unfulfilled. You may feel empty. But hey, it's not indicative of your ending. You can step up and say, God, help me. God, change me. God, renew me. Hey, we all have temporary trouble. We all go through struggles, but you don't have to let temporary trouble determine how you finish your race. I would tell you of a man by the name of John the Revelator, and John lived a good life, but here at the end, John was boiled alive in hot oil, and John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, but John said, hey, it can't end this way for me, but I'm going to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I won't end burnt. I will not end bitter. I will not allow loneliness to destroy me or to set a course for my landing. But hey, I've had some seasons where I'm hurting in the flesh, but I'm going to end things in the Spirit. It don't matter how I feel. It don't matter whether people are with me or whether they're against me. I can get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, because this landing, it's me and Him. It's me and Him. There's nobody else that can stop me, deter me. But my friend, if you just focus your eyes on Him, you can land well. You can land strong. I tell you of a man named Samson. He said, I might be bound. I might be bruised. I might be blind. But Lord, one more time, let me feel your Spirit. I might be in a Philistine prison, but I have faith to believe that God will hear my prayer. God, help me finish. Help me finish. Come on, give God some praise. How many are thankful you can finish strong? You see, Samson came to the conclusion that as long as I have got breath in my lungs, there is hope that I can have a self-landing. And when he lifted up his voice and began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord began to flow through him one more time. And I want you to understand that because of Samson's belief in the mercy of God, Samson accomplished more at his landing, more at his finish line than he had in his entire race. I would tell you of a thief who hung beside Jesus Christ on a cross, and he listened to a thief on the other side who began to curse and who began to tell Jesus, if thou be the Christ, then save yourself. But there was just something in this thief that he knew he was a thief. He knew what he'd done. The decree of what his crimes hung above his head, but he had faith to believe that I don't have to end this way just because I live this way. And he recognized who the Messiah was, and he told that other thief, he said, don't you fear God. Don't you understand who it was? That thief was saying, hey, I may have messed up in the morning. I may have messed up in the noonday. I may have even messed up in the ending. But here in the last moments of my life, I believe that I can have a perfect finish. I believe that I can have a perfect landing. He said, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. He knew that there was a grace that could yank him out of condemnation. That could bring him out of desolation and hopelessness, because he could still finish well. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now understand, I do want to insert here, we believe in obedience to the plan of salvation, that a man must be baptized, he must repent, he must be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to be saved. This is the new covenant that was instituted with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, people will talk about this thief on the cross. The reason he could be in paradise was because Jesus had not yet died. He was the last person saved under the old covenant that we know of. But after the death of Jesus, now we must be obedient to the words of Jesus, which were repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So no matter what your life has been like, you can obey the commission today. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And God most assuredly will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you see, this thief understood something so important about the mercy of God. He understood that a rough flight does not disqualify someone from a perfect landing. I rebuke every lie of the devil that says that just because you messed up in the morning, you'll be messed up at the night. The devil is a liar. People do change. God does lift people out of sin and darkness and depravity. Come on, give God some praise. You ought to declare, I refuse for things to end this way. I will not give up on God. I will not stop walking. I will not stop striving. We read of a man by the name of Joshua who was enjoying a victory, and momentum was on his side, and he was headed in the right direction. He was conquering his enemies, but even as he began to conquer, something captured his attention, and he realized that the sun was beginning to go down, which would lead to some of his enemies escaping. And Joshua said, no, I've not yet accomplished all that I intend to do. So in a passionate moment of desperation, Joshua said, it cannot end this way. And Joshua spake unto the Lord, and he said, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. He said, I need a few more minutes. I just need some more daylight. I just need some more time. I'm not ready for the day to end yet. Hey, I don't mind telling you today, I'm not ready for the sun to set. Our church is not all that it can be yet. The dreams of the bishop, the prophecies over this church have not yet become reality. But God, if you'll give us a little more time, we want to finish strong. Hey, there's souls out there. They need to be in here. There's people that we have to reach. I've not won the souls that I want to win. There's backsliders out of that door that they're coming home in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God praise. Do you have faith to believe? There's a community out there that God wants to bring in here before the sun sets, before this landing, before this finish. You see, you didn't have influence over how you began. You didn't have all the input, the choices that you need. You were thrust into situations and with your childhood and with your upbringing, but you have everything to do with how you will land. You have everything to do with how you will finish. The choice is in your hands. Your defeat, and you can marinate and soak it up and soak up defeat and soak up despair like a sponge, or you can make up your mind, where I lie is not where I will die, but I plan to finish in a different place than where I began. I plan to finish strong. I plan to get back up and get back in the race. I didn't like what happened to me in the morning. I didn't like what I did in the noonday, but hey, I'm thankful I don't have to finish like I started. The day is not over yet. Today is my day of salvation. Would you clap your hands and give God praise? How many are thankful that today you can be saved? Hey, you were messed up at noon. You were messed up in the afternoon, but today things can change. Things can be different. Your prison door can open. Your chains can come off of your wrists and off of your ankles. God is able to make you new. But you see, God's day is so different than a man's day. A man's day begins with the morning and it ends with the evening. A man's day starts with light and it ends with darkness. It starts with a freshness and it ends with a dullness. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, that the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, God's day does not end with the sun going down. I've made up my mind that by the help and the grace of God, my day will not end with the sun setting in my life. But as the sun rises, as we are transformed from corruptible into incorruptible, as a mortal puts on immortality and steps into heaven, your day ends with the sun coming up. Amos 5 and 8 says, "Seek him who turns the shadow of death into the morning." That you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to do something the devil cannot do, because the devil fell and he was never able to get back up. The devil fell down and he was doomed to stay down and he'll never get up. But thank God we can experience a covenant that he never took part in, because it's by the help, the grace, the blood of Almighty God that when I fall, I can get back up. Come on, I'm preaching to some fallen strugglers that you can get off your back. You can get back in the race, and you can say, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Come on, somebody, you ought to get on your feet and praise God. I've fallen, but I'm getting back up again. I've fallen, but I'm getting back up again. I've had darkness in my life, darkness in my heart, darkness in my mind, but thank God I can get back up. Come on, there's some people that remember where God brought them from. They remember when they were in that pit. They remember when they were in that darkness. But thank God he brought me out. Thank God he brought me out. Jesus. You see, it's all in how you finish. It's all in how you finish. The fear and anxiety, the doubt in your mind, is that the way you want to live? Is that the way that you want to land? You got to learn to rebuke those things off of your mind. Rebuke the enemy and he will flee. If you first submitted yourself in obedience unto God, some people here, you got backslidden kids. You ought to learn to say, hey, they might have fallen, but they're going to get back up. It's not over. The sun has not set. You put some truth in their hearts and you can understand the truth is drawing them home. The truth is reaching for them. The truth is plaguing them, trying to bring them back home. You got some problems in your marriage, but you can stand and say, hey, it's not over yet. I'm not giving up on the covenant. I'm not giving up on what God gave me and who God gave me. But by the grace of God, the ending will be better than the beginning. The ending will be better than the beginning in Jesus' name. You see, every race has adversity. But it is the very presence of adversity that indicates that you are running the race. The lack of adversity would mean that you were not running at all and you were not headed anywhere in particular. But when you begin to experience adversity in your walk with God, it's an indication that you're getting somewhere. You're headed somewhere and the enemy is fighting what God is trying to do in your life. I don't read of a man in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ who faced as much adversity as Job did. And things fell apart all around him. But somehow, no matter what happened to Job, no matter what or who he lost, he just said this. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he shall stand in the last day, in the latter day upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job was looking way past the beginning, and he was looking past the duration where he'd received so much damage, and he was looking at the end, and he was saying, no matter what happens in this life, no matter what happens to this body, I know at the end my God's going to be there. I know he'll be at the finish line waiting on me. I've just got to finish the race. Job had an end in mind. He said, just because I suffer now does not mean that I will suffer forever. But because there comes a day that when the dead in Christ will rise first, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Come on, does anybody want to go to heaven? You can finish strong. You can finish strong. You can finish strong. The renowned French poet Victor Hugo was so enamored by the book of Job that he declared that tomorrow, if all literature was to be destroyed and it was left up to me to retain one work only in all of human history, I should save the book of Job. You see, the story of Job is a testament to the fact that the story of a human life that is plagued by peril, plagued by loss, plagued by despair does not have to end defined by its worst chapters, defined by its worst moments. It teaches us it's all in how you finish, and that if you stay faithful and you keep walking, there comes a day where he begins to shift your mourning into dancing, and he begins to shift your sorrow into joy. And you cannot look at a temporary circumstance and decide where you will spend eternity, but you've got to say, I made this decision when I was in my right mind. When I was in the light, I decided to walk after him, and I'll walk through the darkness, I'll walk through the storm, I'll walk through the rain, whatever it takes, because I intend to finish this race. Somebody that's down and out, you ought to give God some praise right now. You might be down and out now, but you can finish well. You can finish strong. Come on, give God some praise. I'm almost done. Let's take a minute to give God praise right now. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you can get back up and get back in the race? Come on, you're not disqualified. You're not down and out, but you can say, when I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I shall arise. I want to quickly draw a line of distinction in what I'm talking about today, and I'm close to being done, but I want to clarify, I'm not speaking of intentionally pushing the Lord's will off to tomorrow every single day of your life and constantly saying, tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. In fact, I want you to understand, the person who thinks that they can time their ending and repent at the very end, the person who intentionally tries to do that, you rest assured that you will end up lost, because he will come in a day and hour that you are not aware and that you are not ready because of the way that you're living your life. But I'm preaching to some people that you want to finish well. You want to live for God, but you find yourself struggling. You find yourself trapped. You find yourself in darkness. You find yourself without the faith that you need. But today you can say, today is my day of salvation. If you'll not push him aside, but if you'll just say, God, you've got the answer to everything I need. If it's a lack of belief, a lack of faith, if it's hopelessness, despair, depression, God is the answer to everything you need. Because, friend, you got to make your calling and election sure, because I can tell you this, one day you will stand face to face with God at the judgment. There will be no excuse, there will be no name that you can call, no one else that you can blame, but it will be you and it will be God. And you will be an eternal soul that now faces your Maker. And how you have lived and how you have died and how you have finished will determine whether you spend eternity with Him in heaven or eternity separated from Him in hell. You need to understand that hell is a real place. Hell was not created for you, but hell was created for the devil and his angels. And if you go to hell, it will be beyond the reach, beyond the grace and the mercy of God that is called to you every day of your life. It will be because you sat in services just like this one right now. And when you knew that you should pray, and when you knew that there was hope for you, you allowed the devil to discourage you and to cloud your mind. And understand that doubt and discouragement and the lack of belief to just grab onto God's promises, at the end it will be the same as open hatred and open hostility, because God has confirmed Himself enough to you. You know that He is real. You know that He loves you. You know that His mercy is able to renew you. You have got to learn to push back against the lies of the devil that tell you that you are broken and that you are unredeemable, because the devil is a liar. And my friend, if you'll just reach out, you can finish well today. Would you stand across the house? Musicians, you can come. I want you to listen to me very, very closely. As the crew of the Atlantis prepared to land, there were many different emotions that clouded their thinking. They'd all seen the videos of the Challenger as it went up in a fireball. They knew that those who went before them had failed and had died, and they believed that they would fail as well. You must understand that just because some in your family have not finished the race, just because some of your friends and associates, those that you looked up to, just because they didn't finish the race, just because nobody in your bloodline has ever finished the race, my friend, it doesn't mean that you are doomed to failure. You can finish well even if nobody else ever has. The crew of the Atlantis believed that circumstances that had occurred on their flight had condemned them to a failed landing. They believed that they were doomed by their damage. There are people here today that you've taken damage in your life. Because of the things that happened to you as a child or in a marriage or whatever the situation, because of those things, the enemy's in your mind and he tells you you're destined to fail. He tells you you'll never live for God. He tells you you'll never make it because you're damaged goods. But my friend, the word says that if you'll change your course, if you'll just believe God that you can finish well. The crew of the Atlantis knew that a space shuttle becomes an unpowered glider as it begins to descend. They knew that they had one single chance at landing. There were no do-overs. There were no second chances. But when they landed, it was make or break. You see, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised to ever be back in this church again. God could take you in the blink of an eye. You are not promised tomorrow. And the writer of Ecclesiastes said, as a tree falleth, even so shall it lie. How you land, how you finish, is how you will spend eternity. Do not think there are second chances, my friend. When God takes you, it's over. How you lived, how you landed, will determine it's heaven or it's hell. There's no middle ground. There is no purgatory. There is no do-over. But it's heaven or it's hell. It's lost or it's saved. One man described the Atlantis like this, and I want you to get this phrase in your mind. He said it was a perfect landing for an imperfect flight. Friend, you might have sustained a lot of damage in the flight, but you can still have a perfect landing. You're not doomed by your damage. He said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. patience through your struggle, patience through your pain, patience with how you were at the noonday and how you were in the evening, with patience to understand that if I'll just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, that he beckons to you from the finish line. He's saying, come on, you can make it. You can get back up. You can make it. I'll give you the strength to go on if you'll just believe that he is the author, he is the finisher, and he is the master of a perfect ending. Come on, would you give God praise? Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I want you to know, the end of your life can be so much better than the beginning. Perfect flight. This altar's open. Anybody in the house that you know you struggled, you know you've taken some damage, you know if you could just change some things, you would. My friend, today things can be different. Things can be different. You can prepare to have a perfect landing. He still loves you. He still gave himself for you. He's not quit reaching. He's not quit drawing. Come on, would you pray across the house? Everybody here, wherever you're at. Come on, there's still hope. There's still hope. There's still hope. There's damage you've taken. But damage does not disqualify. Damage does not disqualify. Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise. There's some guests in the house that God brought you because he wants to restore you. There's some backsliders that God's been drawing you home. God's been pulling on your heartstrings. You take this as confirmation. God sent me to tell you, it's all in how you finish. It's all in how you finish. It's all in how you finish. Come on, would you lift your voice across the house? Everybody ought to be praying with somebody. Come on, God's not done with you. God's not done with you.
I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer.